Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, 18, and 19. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Of course, we know that Achan took the goodly Babylonish garment. And he took the silver. Let's see where we find that. I want to make sure we read it right here. Verse 7, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And then we find his confession later on as he tells about verse 21 of chapter 7, and when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Now, we're dealing with something more than just disobedience here. That was disobedience. It's breaking the commandment of God. But really, it was more than that, and it's a theme that you see throughout the Scripture. Notice that a couple things. It says there in Joshua, it says, all the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. You know, there's a parallel thought with the idea of accursed. And the parallel thought is the principle devoted. City of Jericho was the first fruits of the land. City of Jericho was devoted to the Lord. The people were not to touch anything of the city of Jericho. It belonged to God. Now, the silver and gold couldn't be burned. So the silver and gold had to go to the treasury because it couldn't be burned. The rest of the city could be burned. But as you think about this in the Scripture, you see some parallels. Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus 30, talking about
the service of the temple of the Lord, the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Exodus 33, take unto thee sweet spices, stacket, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices, with pure frankincense of each shall be a like weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. Most holy. What does the word holy in the Bible mean? Now, we have so many parallels to this word holy. But you know, talks about the word, we get the word, the parallel word to holy is the word sanctification, to make holy. And what does that mean? It means to be set apart from common usage for the special use of the Lord. When we get saved, we become God's holy people. We're to be set apart from that which is defiling and from that which is profane, and our life is to be dedicated to God's service. That's the word holy. Now, you have inanimate things in the Bible that are holy. The vessels of the Lord's house were holy. They were not to be used for anything common. They were only to be used in the Lord's house. And so they were set apart from that which was common and profane, and they were set apart exclusively for the use of the Lord. All right? And that's a very important truth in the Bible. And it tells us that the perfume in the temple was holy. What does it mean? It means, well, it belongs to the Lord. It's to be set apart from profane use, and it's used to be exclusively for the Lord. Man, we could just stop right there and realize that the whole doctrine of sanctification is almost lost. It's almost lost. It's a major topic to get the people of God to think that and to act like they are. Their life is not to be used for that which is profane and evil, but their life is to be totally dedicated to serving God. Wow. But let's go back to the perfume. Verse 37, and for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. Okay? Not to be used for profane or personal use. It shall be unto the holy for the Lord, set apart for the Lord's exclusive use. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall be cut off from his people. Wow. You know what that means? Cut off? Dead. That's what it means. Dead. Cut off. Why? Because they dared take that which belongs to God and use it for personal use or profane use. We find this theme throughout the Bible. Now, as we see this, we realize that, you know, this is not something new, Achan and his losing his life. This was not a new, out of the sky thing. I thought about entitling the message this night, where has sacredness gone? Where has sacredness gone? You know, sacredness is the idea of there are things that are sacred. You don't touch them. You don't touch them. They belong to God. And they are to be thought of as belonging to God. And in our world, we have lost the sense of the sacred. We'll see that number of different places in the Bible. But let's go to another place. Let's go to Leviticus 27. Exodus, Leviticus 27. Verse 30. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. It's not to be used for common or personal use. It is to be used exclusively for God. Now think about that. Turn to with me to Malachi 3. And think of Achan. Think of what they said about Jericho, the first fruits of the land. And they said, don't touch of the accursed thing. Don't touch of the accursed thing. Why touch of the accursed thing? It will bring a curse. Right? Because it's devoted to God, belongs to God. Okay, so let's go to Malachi 3 and we'll see what it says. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. The tithe, Leviticus 27:32, is what? Holy. Belongs to God. Belongs to God, not to be used for self, for profane, personal use. It's for God. It's for God. Belongs to Him. Okay? Verse 8, they rob God with tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse. Oh, really? How does this play in there? For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be enough room to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice, they touched that which was holy. And what was the result? Curse. Principle of that which is sacred belongs to God. All of it belongs to God. It is not for us. It belongs to God. It is holy. Now, in my Bible, I have the word, it says there, what? What? Holy Bible. Anybody have one of those? Is that what it says on yours? Holy Bible. Holy Bible. Turn with me to Revelation 22. Verse 18, for I testify unto everyone, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this law of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. What about the man who touches God's word? What about the man who touches God's word? It's his word. It belongs to him. It is his holy word. Think about the lack of the sense of the sacredness of the scriptures today. It goes all the way from how children treat their Bible. I remember a nun got saved by the name of Susan Hermes under the ministry Dr. Cummins down in Atlanta. And she got saved and surrendered her life to serve the Lord. And she became a teacher in their Christian school. And she got in the classroom and she saw kids had their Bibles on the floor. And she couldn't believe it. That children thought so little of their Bible that it was just laying on the floor. Now, sad thing is, you wouldn't dare, you probably never see a Muslim put their Quran on the floor. It isn't even a holy book. It's a wicked book. But you know this whole idea, that which is God's is sacred. That which belongs to God is sacred. And we are living in a day in which the sacredness of the Bible is definitely being lost. And we have young preachers who are experts at figuring out what's in the Bible and what's not in the Bible. Bible critiquers. And they're adopting the Westcott-Hort eclectic approach. And they're the ones who decide what's in the Bible and what's not in the Bible. Very flippant approach to God's Word that is taking place today. The sacredness of the Bible. And we could go on. I mean, you don't want me to preach a sermon on that one tonight, but the very fact that people who call themselves fundamentalists carry around an ESV Bible. That has known errors in it. And they have no sense that there's anything wrong. the sacredness of God's word has been lost. You think about it. So we see this principle. Now let's go to a couple other places. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. And we see a similar theme. First Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this is a passage that is commonly misinterpreted unless you're in a church that understands the New Testament church. But 1 Corinthians 3, the context is that in the church at Corinth, there are schisms. There's envy, there's strife, there's divisions. Some say I'm a Paul, some say I'm Apollos. You know, some say they are, you know, whatever. And the whole issue is that they are not building in the, they're not serving in the Lord for the Lord. They're serving in the Lord for themselves. They're serving in the church to get people around them, to follow them. They are serving in the church to, not for the glory of God, but for themselves. And then we have the whole context that, you know, if you're building on the foundation, take heed how you build. And then it talks about the judgment. At the judgment, every man's work will be made manifest, whether it's wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones. And what they're doing is that passage on the judgment seat of Christ is talking about how people are serving in the local church. And some people are serving in the local church for themselves. Not for God, but for themselves. And in that context, he says this, verse 16. Know we not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. There we have that word again. The temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. This is the church. It says, if you defile the temple. And what temple is he talking about? Local church. There's the context. They were serving the Lord for themselves. And he says, if any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. Now we see the parallel, right? Old Testament. The perfume is holy to the Lord. You use it for yourself, cut off from the people. The tithe is holy, belongs to God. Use it for yourself, you be cursed. The Bible is God's, belongs to Him. It's holy, not for man to touch. You touch it, you're cursed. You know, I just thought came to me. In a new sense. You wonder why the apostasy is upon us today? Can you think of much good that has happened ever since Westcott and Hort? In the Westcott-Hort text? They're touching that which is holy. The sacredness of God's word is being lost. Now, here we have this context. Here's the church. The local church. New Testament church is God's temple. And you defile it. You use it for yourself. You use it to build up a clientele. For whatever reason. Not to build up God's church and make it prosper and spiritual. But whatever it is, you are in there and you're defiling it. You're treating it with less than sacredness. What does God say? He'll destroy you. Same truth, isn't it? Exactly the same truth. We find it there with Achan. Achan takes that which belongs to God. This city that was dedicated to the Lord, this city which belonged to God, nothing was to be taken for themselves because this belonged to God. You know, it wasn't just taking a Babylonian garment. It wasn't just taking a piece of gold. It was taking that which belonged to God. You know, of course, the principle that the New Testament church is a living organism, and that what anybody in that organism is doing affects the spirituality of the whole body. That is true. But this is beyond that. And this is the truth that was taught with Achan. And we see a very, what we would say if we don't understand it, we see a very drastic action of the Lord. That not only Achan, but his whole family, lives were taken. You know, it was interesting that we had a lot of political talk about terrorists. And in California, we had these two jihadists. And, you know, so many parts of it that aren't really, the press doesn't really bring out. press doesn't bring out the fact that this was not only a terrorist act, but it was a attack upon Christians. And this couple just didn't go into that building and just shoot anybody. There was a man who was a Christian, who was pro-Israel, who had witnessed to this Muslim fellow. He was shot. And, of course, the press isn't going to say that. But, you know, the whole house that they were living in was a bomb factory. Mom and dad and friends and all went into this house and bomb parts and bomb making and, you know, whole family knew about it. Whole family should be in jail. Actually, a whole family should be given the gospel and then executed. That's what should happen. You know, it was interesting, I heard this comment that is that I have no reason to doubt it, that, you know, the 9/11 terrorists who boarded those planes, before they boarded their planes, you know what they did with their family? They got all their families on airplanes and sent them all back to Saudi Arabia. Why? Because their families were complicit. They knew what was going on. You know, a nation that's under God's curse doesn't think too straight. I think that's what's happening to America. But Achan and his whole family. His whole family. This wasn't something done in secret. I don't know how it took place, but, you know, Achan comes back from the battle and he says, "Hey, look what I got." Can you imagine that? You know, they say that most 99.9% criminals can't keep it quiet. They have to tell somebody. Well, here's Achan. He comes back. And he probably gathers his family around. And he says, "Hey, look what I got. Look at this. Oh, man." You know, a garment in those days could cost a year's wages. When you think of looms and making them by hand, we're not talking about Chinese factories. We're talking about most cloth was made by hand. And it was a goodly Babylonian garment. Probably had, you know, the finest of weavings, etc. And very valuable. And he says, "Hey, look at what I got." And then he says, "Oh, man. Look at this, man. Oh, I got a whole wedge of gold here. Oh, man, look at that. I couldn't believe it. I went into this place, and there was. Wow. I mean, that was big. Oh, isn't that something? We could really use that." And they all say, "Yeah, we could really. That's going to be. Man, can you imagine what we can do with that?" Well, let's bury it right here. You know, they were camped in Gilgal. That was going to be the headquarters. That's where they were camped throughout the whole campaign. And they're going to be there. And they're going to stay there, be camped in that one place. The whole family's going to be living in that tent for the whole campaign of Joshua till the land's divided. Said, "Okay, when it's all over, we'll dig this up. Nobody will know. And we'll use it for ourselves." We didn't hear of anybody say, "But Dad, it's the accursed thing." You know, Dad says, "You know what? We're going on vacation. You know, and we can't afford to tithe while we're on vacation. It's going to be real expensive. And we need a new car. And, you know, in order to get this new car, we just aren't going to be able to tithe anymore. Because we really need this new car." And the kids say, "Yeah, we need a new car." Or the kids say, "Yeah, we need to go on this vacation." That's what Achan said. Gathers family together. Said, "Look at what I got." Guess what happened? We know what happens. It wasn't too pretty, was it? Joshua 7, Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. It says, all Israel took with him, took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. Boy, that's kind of serious. Kind of serious. You know, it tells us that his family was complicit in this. It tells us that his wife went along with it. Tells us that his children went along with it. You know, somehow we get in this day, this idea today, well, if my dad says so, then that's the way it's going to be. Do you really think that's biblical? If dad says we're going to do something wrong? What do you think, Mr. Ames? Not biblical, is it? It's not biblical. You know, Ananias and Sapphira. Sapphira had a chance not to die. But she covered up for her husband and she died. You know, there's a pretty false idea about Christianity today in families. It's not biblical. And we see that right here. We see it right here. But we don't want to lose the point. Sacredness. Sacredness belongs to the Lord. Belongs to the Lord. You and I belong to the Lord. Have we lost a sense of sacredness that somehow we think it's okay for us to live the way we want? We can use our life, anything in the world that we want, not a problem. Have we lost the sense of the sacred? I think it's everywhere around us, isn't it? Like I say, it's in the air, folks, isn't it? It's in the air. And Achan is a very sobering lesson of this very, very vital truth. I thought about how David, when he had the chance to take Saul's life, he said, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." I'll not touch him. He belongs to God. You know, the anointing was that calling a person from profane duty to God's use. The priests were anointed. The prophets were anointed. The kings were anointed. And David said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. So it's a great a principle for us that we need to think about tonight. And, you know, obviously we are in a day in which Christianity has lost a sense of the holy God and the whole principle of sacredness. You know, the emerging church. And, you know, most of fundamentalism is where New Evangelical was, you know, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. And New Evangelicalism is all turning into the emerging church. And, you know, the emerging church is you have some guy, you know, with holy blue jeans on, maybe a tank top, you know, maybe just a t-shirt, you know, and he's got a stool, and he's up there, he's the preacher. And you know, they'll have a rock band, and they'll tell off-color jokes in the pulpit. And they'll degrade fundamentalists. And they'll say, like, well, you know, after they tell a dirty joke, they'll say, well, you know, if you're overly saved, I'm sorry that you're offended by that. That's how they talk. You know? And we got young preachers. You know, young preachers, they're bragging their pride. You know, well, we don't wear ties in our church. And you know, they come to they come in the pulpit at a turtleneck. You know, if they're pretty conservative, they'll come in to the church to pulpit in a turtleneck. You know, and casual pants and you know, and you know, not too bad, but you know, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Lost a sense of sacredness. That's where we're at today. Lost a sense of the sacred. You know? God isn't holy. I can treat him and what he has any way I want. This is an holy place. Let's get rid of the pews. You know, let's get some chairs out here, and maybe even some better than that. Let's get some theater chairs. You know, we could really relax. You know, in fact, let's have a Starbucks in the back. And you know, we all can have our coffee during the service. You know, I heard about a church, and the choir director had a soda holder right here. You know, so if he got thirsty, you know, directing the choir or whatever, you know, he could take a swig. You know, have we lost the sense of the sacred? You know what, folks? It's everywhere around us. A loss of the sense of the sacred. It's all about man. It's about everything is centered on man, not on God. Well, you know what? The Lord's Day doesn't belong to God either. The Lord's Day is about me. Let's make sure we have at the longest, a 1 hour service. Let's make sure we have it the longest 1 hour service. Let's not have Sunday school. Let's have Sunday school at the same time as we have church. That way we all can be in church for 1 hour and we're out of there. And if that doesn't work, let's have church on Saturday night. You know? But let's not have church Sunday night. And let's make sure, you know, let's make sure if we have, if we're still old-fashioned fundamentalists, let's make sure that we're as in church as little time as possible. And it's as convenient as possible. You know, I'm not too much in favor of churches having morning service, having a lunch, and then having another afternoon service. Did anybody ever go to college and have a class after lunch? You know what most people do in those classes? They have a hard time staying awake. And you know what? Sorry to say, but you don't get much accomplished in those services. You're there to get it over with. Because you know what? The Lord's Day isn't sacred anymore. It's all about me and how it fits into my life. I realize that there are some exceptions in this whole scenario, and I'm not trying to undermine it, but I still believe that, hey, if you got one of those places, you know, there's a reason they do that. Well, I trust that the rest of the day is still for the Lord. But we lost a sense of the sacred. That's why we feel like you ought to dress your best when you come to church. Because God's holy. And you know, it makes a statement if you don't dress your best. You're making a statement about what you think about God. Could it be that this general principle is happening right before our very eyes? Is it possible that this very principle of lack of the sacredness of the Lord is what's destroying families? Destroying families. Could it be that this lack of sacredness is what's destroying Christianity? Fundamentalism. Could it be that this very lack of sense is bringing about the apostasy of today? Lack of sacredness. I think it's a truth that we need to really meditate on in our lives. In our families. You know, when we give that offering on Sunday, I think we could have a more sacred approach to it. You know, when we sang the doxology, do you think we could really sing it to God? I am... Lord, I am offering this to you. I am offering this to you. This is a time of worship. A great truth. I trust that we see the parallel. And we see that this vital truth of Achan is a truth that applies to many other sacred things. The tithe, the church, our lives, the Word of God, all these things. Let's pray. Lord, tonight, Lord, we need a return of the sense of your holy person, of the sense of that which is sacred. Lord, we need a return of the whole idea that not only the church, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, is sacred. Lord, we even need a return of the sense that our body, our human body, is sacred. Lord, we've come to a day in which that sacredness is seen, that the body is a decoration piece. It's not holy. It's not sacred. We use it for ourselves. Lord, we see that this lack of sacredness is permeating the world in which we live, permeating the air. And Lord, without your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can lose one of the most vital insights to God's Word and to who you are. Lord, help us not to allow heathenism and humanism and selfishness take away the sacredness of sacred things. And Lord, we're praying that your Holy Spirit will do a work in our lives, even tonight, in building and instilling in our lives that very, very fiber of Christianity and relationship with the Holy God, the idea of the sacred. I pray in Jesus' name. Well, heads are bowed and eyes closed. I wonder, is God speaking to your heart? That which belongs to God, do you think of it as that which is sacred? Your life, the church, the tithe, the Bible, your body. Something to put holes in? Something to decorate? Church is for you, not for God? God's speaking to your heart tonight. So, you know, first of all, in general sense, you know, I sense that all around us, there is this loss of the sacred. And the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart tonight, and you say, you know what, I sense it. I sense it. I can't necessarily get a hold of it, but I sense that everywhere around us, this idea of the loss of the sacredness of the holy things that belong to God is everywhere. And I sense it's affecting me. I know it affects me. And you say, you know, tonight I'm going to ask God to work in my heart, to increase in my heart that sense of the sacred. I realize this is very general, but I think it's in the air and we need to be aware of it and we need to do something about it. And we say, Lord, I sense that I need in my life a deepening of this sense of the sacredness of the things of God. And you'd be willing to just ask the Lord to pray, to work in your heart and to build in your life that a deepness of the sacredness of the things of God. And just raise your hand, and Lord has spoken to your heart about that. I think that's kind of the basic thing that we're talking about tonight. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Secondly, perhaps you're here tonight, and you know what? This seems pretty basic, but you say, you know what? I don't tithe. I tithe once in a while, but I don't tithe. And I have recognized tonight that I'm touching that which belongs to God. And instead of my Christian life being blessed, it is hindered. And it has got all sorts of problems. And certainly it goes, centers around that whole principle of the sacredness of that which belongs to God. But you know, the Lord is speaking to you tonight and says, you know, this has nothing to do with finances. This has to do with God. And recognizing that the tithe is holy, belongs to Him. It's not mine. And it's just one part of this whole principle of sacredness. And God is speaking to your heart tonight. And say, you know what? I'm going to settle that thing right now. I'm not going to ever touch that which belongs to God again. And I'm making that decision tonight. Anyone here? I see a couple of hands. Okay. All right. That's a big one. That is really a big one. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, you know what? Have had kind of a flippant view about the church. And to me, it's more about me than something that is holy and belongs to God. And I've really had no problems living the way I want to live, bringing bad influences into the church, being a bad example, just because I'm more interested in me. And yet, the Bible makes very clear this very serious thing. The sacredness of the New Testament church. And you say, God spoke in my heart tonight. There's some things that I need to get right with God because this is touching at the very heartbeat of that which belongs to God. And you say, tonight, I'm ready and ready to get this right with God and treat the church like it's holy. It belongs to God and it's sacred. And that my life has been meant to keep it sacred. And there's an important decision in this area of your life tonight about the sacredness of the New Testament church. And you say, God has spoken my heart tonight, and I'm getting this right with God. Amen. Praise God for that hand. Another? Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Perhaps it has to do with your body. The Bible says your body is not for fornication, but it's for the Lord. You have forgotten that your body belongs to God. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is sacred. It's not something that is a plaything that you decorate because to bring attention to yourself. It is meant to be holy and to be used for God, not for self. And the Lord has spoken to you tonight about this very vital truth. You say, you know, there's things in my life that are polluting my body. Maybe you say, there are things in my life I'm using my body not in a sacred manner. And the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. And this is an important decision for you tonight, anyone here tonight. Okay? Amen. And I say another. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for these truths. And now, Lord, I pray that you would work in a mighty way. Every one of these decisions, Lord, is big. And Lord, I pray that you will show yourself great. I pray that, Lord, that the very sense of the sense of a holy God, of that which is sacred, would permeate our lives and be uplifted even in our church, even tonight, in these important decisions. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.